Hello, and welcome to the Development Debrief with Catherine Van Sickle, the stories-based podcast that interviews donors, thought leaders, and professionals in the field of fundraising.
Hey, listeners, it's Keith from Evertrue. Evertrue unlocks the potential of your entire donor pyramid. But how? Why, by giving fundraising teams the tools they need to personalize outreach at scale. Wow. And to inspire fundraising teams along the way, we offer Evertrue Studios, advancement's very first media hub. Evertrue Studios is like Netflix, but for advancement. And we publish new podcast and video content every week. It's all free and all created with fundraisers in mind. Subscribe for weekly content from the Development Debrief podcast and other advancement thought leaders at evertrue.com/studios.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to season 12. I hope you had a great summer, and thank you for tuning in. Whether this is your first episode or your 100th, I am so glad you're here listening and sharing with me on my journey as a podcast host and development professional. And this year is a little bit different than past years. I started a new position in May, and it is very different from other things I've done in the past. I'm a first-time team leader, and so what that means for me is that I'm exercising new muscles, I'm learning new things nearly every day, and so I thought it might be fun to share on a quarterly basis some major milestones or things that I'm learning. So we've just passed about the 90-day mark, and just a few weeks ago, I led my very first team retreat. So today, I'm going to just do a solo episode talking about the way I plan my team retreat and some of the things that I took away from it and what I would recommend for you to do as you think about your own team retreats. Someone recently said to me, we always overthink them, and that may very well be true. We want them to be interesting. We want them to stand out. We want them to resonate with people. But the problem is everyone's different and everyone has different takeaways. And something that I've noticed over the years is that I think retreats are a little bit polarizing. I think some people love retreats pretty much no matter what they are, and some people really don't like them for pretty much whatever they are. And this probably won't surprise you, but I am the type of person that loves retreats. And part of that is I love goal setting. I like taking a step back and reflecting and getting geared up and excited, having an opportunity to get to know colleagues in a new environment. So it's always been something that I've really enjoyed. And so one of the fun things about this process for me was taking some of those things that I've really loved as a retreat participant and applying them as I planned for this one. First, I'll tell you the bones of the retreat that we put together. So this was roughly a 4-hour block of time. And it started, number one, with a guest speaker, number two, with reflection, number three, with goal setting, and number four, with food and affirmation. So that was the order. Each conversation had a break in between, and we moved around a little bit, but those were the four ingredients, and I think that those are pretty much universal. And if it's not food, maybe it's a fun activity or something like that, but something that's doesn't feel like work to either close out or open. So that 4-hour block of time, I think, could be applied pretty universally to whatever it is that you're tackling, whether it's a brand new team, whether it's an established team, whether you're merging teams for the first time. These are pretty evergreen topics to cover, and you could do so in a variety of different ways. Not surprisingly, I was nervous to plan this retreat. It was the first time I was going to be doing it, but luckily I've had really great examples in the past of well-led retreats, and one of the things I always remembered was that intentions were set. So the question is, what is the goal? What do you want to get out of this retreat? So I sent an email to my team with an agenda, and at the top of the agenda, I literally wrote out the three goals that I hope to walk away from that retreat. And that can be literally anything. For me, I wrote build upon a foundation of trust, provide an opportunity to reflect with one another, and identify opportunities for growth in the future. Those were the three goals. And I think this is really important because it gives people the opportunity to know what they're walking into and to know what you're hoping to accomplish as well. And it sets a tone that you are being thoughtful about the time together and you have clear things that you want to accomplish. The intention and the goal, that is the first thing that I think needs to be considered. The second is space. One of the really great things that I think make retreats stand out is that they often are not in the office. And there are a lot of reasons for why that's the case. I think it's always good to mix things up, be in a new environment. It allows people to break down their walls. It allows people to think in a new way. And it also allows the team leader to maybe share a little bit more about their life, whether they're hosting in their home or maybe they're choosing a place on campus that they really like, that they want to showcase. But all of those things are specific choices. For me, I chose to host the retreat in my apartment complex. And lucky enough for me, it had a lot of public spaces. And what's great about that was that we were able to start in one space, then move into another. That made it feel dynamic and it kept the energy high. It was also good because I live in a one-bedroom apartment, so it would have been pretty crunched and tight if we had literally been in my apartment. So that was a great opportunity to think about and use the space in my apartment building. The other thing is that was good about using that space was that it was neutral. It wasn't like literally my personal home. I think neutral is important, but also warmth was brought with coffee and bagels. And one of my colleagues went and bought really beautiful notebooks for each person. And she chose which person got which notebook, which I think people really liked. And we gave them pens, just little personal touches to show them with the space that we had planned for this and that we were thinking about each individual person for this. So I think there's a lot of opportunity and ways to use space that can communicate whatever your goals are. So for one of them, the foundation of trust, that shows them they can trust that when we're going to be spending our time together, it's going to be thought out, it's going to be personal. The third thing that was kind of new to me, I was lucky in a way, really was timing. Having that roughly hour-long block for different activities, I think worked really well because I know that if things go over an hour, 90 or 2 hours long, it can be easy to lose people's attention. People need to get up and walk around. If you're talking about team building and things like that, it can get heavy. So it was nice to have these bite-sized chunks of time with specific themes so that we could, honestly, it felt like the time was flying by because I think because of that movement. And then the breaks too, we gave about 15-minute breaks in between each section and people always went either to the restroom or made a phone call, and I think that was appreciated. The fourth thing, and this might be the most important thing, is the outside inspiration. When I mentioned in the beginning the four-hour block of time, the first thing we did was we had a guest speaker, and that is what I'm calling this outside inspiration piece of retreat planning. I had been at Trinity over the summer, and I ran into Lisa Alvarez Calderon, who I'm sure you've heard on this podcast if you haven't. Please tune into her episode. She is an amazing HR professional and has just recently gone out on her own and is building a consulting business. And I basically just asked her, is there any way that you would consider speaking to my team via Zoom for my first ever retreat? Like, I've never done this before. I know that you're an expert. It would be a huge asset for us to have you. And she said yes. And while that sounds like a really simple thing, I want to empower people that if you have a colleague, a friend, a mentor, someone in your professional network that you really admire, that you think could add value to your team with whatever message it may be, ask them if they'll participate in your retreat. And they will probably say yes. I mean, in the world of LinkedIn today, it's amazing how many people I could rattle off on one hand in 2 seconds, you know, five people that I think would be really amazing to do, again, an hour long of a presentation to help the team think in a new way. And that was kind of what I did when I went up to visit the team at Navy, spoke with them about some of my perspectives as a podcaster, and that sparked new conversation. But I think the point of the outside inspiration is that bringing in a fresh perspective is going to get the wheels turning and help people think in new ways. I have to say, I feel so lucky. Lisa was an absolute home run. She talked to us about how teams develop. And that was the question that we were asking ourselves, because for my team specifically, we actually made 2 hires this summer. So the 2 new hires joined the retreat. One started the following week, the other one is starting this week. And so we were lucky enough to have the full team there. What I loved about that was that it also set the tone for them, that helped them get to know who we are as a group, gave them context. But it also just took a moment to acknowledge that we have people on our team with an incredible depth of experience, either in the field or at our institution. And then we also had brand new people, and there was such a broad range, and really respecting and naming that and owning that, seeing that as a strength, was something that I really wanted to be sure to do, because that is what I believe. So essentially what Lisa did was she presented on how teams develop and talked a little bit about culture. And we had a Q&A and a conversation about what she presented. And she facilitated that conversation really well. She encouraged questions. And again, we basically just put her on the screen for this Zoom experience. One of the things that she brought was the Drexler-Sibbett team performance model. This is really Googleable. You can check it out. But it walks through the process of how a team begins, asking the question, why am I here? All the way through to the renewal phase, or asking the question, why do we continue what we're doing? There are 7 steps along that continuum, and it's basically the range of creating through to sustaining. So what we were talking about was what needs to happen to build high performance. This was so helpful for me because it gave me and my team the language to talk about how to get to high performance. I think we can all picture what we want things to look like, but I'll speak for myself, I don't always know how to get there. One of the things that's interesting about this particular team performance model is that individual relationships or individual programs or processes within a team or a team within teams can be in any given stage at any given time. It allows you to name where you are, and then it also, I think, enables you to give yourself grace to say, wait a minute, we're in the goal clarification stage here. Let's stop and figure that out first. Or are we all committed? How can we be sure that we're all committed to move forward? One of the big things that I took away was the process and how important the process is to getting to where we need to be. So whether it's literally the process of how you communicate with what technologies, or creating a timeline per quarter of what's needed, that process piece is just huge. And, you know, I had made the point at the retreat that the process, we usually can't see it. And so I think that's why it can be really easy to miss it, because the process is the way in which we do things. It's not necessarily the actual product. So that was huge. I think there were definitely some light bulb moments for all of us. And then after we talked about that development process, because we're in it right now of building a brand new team and starting a new chapter as a group and a new fiscal year, we then talked about culture. So as we develop, how do we want to develop? Lisa referred to what is culture and how do we shape it, which is adopted by Carolyn Taylor. And she showed us a slide and it had four different sections. It said, culture is the patterns of behavior. The second is that are encouraged, discouraged, or tolerated. The third is by people or systems. And the fourth is over time. So now I'll say it all in one line. Culture is the patterns of behavior that are encouraged, discouraged, or tolerated by people or systems over time. So we talked a bit about different patterns of behavior, and actually my favorite within the encouraged, discouraged, or tolerated is tolerated, because again, kind of like process, the tolerated is what we don't necessarily see. It's that sort of latent choice to not address something if it's not working, or to just allow things to continue. It's a very passive thing, and having that on there, you know, because encouraged we can see, right? Encouraged is clear. Discouraged, often we can see, not all the time, but that tolerated one really stood out to me. And then by people, so that's the people around us on our teams or the systems in which they're created. And then over time. So it's not a one-off. It's not something happening a few times. It's repeated patterns over time. I think that was especially poignant for me because time is of the essence. It's the beginning of the fiscal year. We're starting a brand new team. So I was feeling like the patterns that we establish now are really going to be the patterns that we rely on later, especially as things get really, really busy. So that outside inspiration that we started with Lisa in the beginning set the tone for the rest of the entire day. And again, gave us the language that I think we might not have necessarily had to then go on and have conversations about how things went last year, what we can do better on, and what we want to build on, and then actually setting our goals for this fiscal year. So that was an absolute game changer. The fifth thing is order of information. So I put the agenda together and then I actually changed it a few times in thinking about how the conversation was going to flow. And initially I had actually had Lisa like third on the agenda. And then I realized, no, she had to be first because her words had to, again, set that tone. But then after she spoke, we went back and we reflected, and it was almost a little bit of a break of thinking about the team building into the future, and it was reflecting on a year of change and transition. For me, it was context. For the two new team members, it was context because we're new. And that was really great. I wrote, and other team members wrote on pieces of paper that we put up on the walls with different colors. That's always fun. And it makes it a little bit more active. And then we talked about what kind of team we want to be in the context of this culture conversation about patterns of behavior and systems and people. And that just flowed because we were in that mindset after the fact. So we talked about the future, we talked about the past, we went back to the future. And then I just felt like we were so ready to talk about goals because it had been teed up. Ensuring that everyone's participating is a really huge way to get buy-in from everyone, have everyone feel that they're part of it, because they absolutely are. Each individual person is vital. And if there is that one person on your team who's thinking, I hate retreats, I don't want to be here, I can't learn from this, I don't want to do this, it is going to hurt you. And then that one person could turn into two or three. Then I knew that I wanted to end with something fun and light because we did do a lot of work. We did do a lot of deep thinking and sharing and planning. And so I actually introduced a camp tradition of mine growing up called the Paper Plate Awards. You buy not the flimsy thin paper plates, but the thicker ones. One brand is Chinette. They're double thick. They can definitely be recyclable, but you want to make sure they don't have any branding on them. So it's just a white plate. And what I did was, again, I took out those colorful markers and I drew little pictures that went with awards that each person was given. And the way that I've done this in the past is that the paper plate award is the thing about the person that makes them unique, that adds to the team, that is their special gift or their outstanding accomplishment, whatever it may be. So I went through and came up with those. And bear in mind, you know, I'd only been here for 3 months, so it wasn't super deep on each one, but they were definitely personal for each one. And I told them that I wanted to make this a tradition. And that next year will be very different because we will have had a full cycle together and we'll have so much more to say. But I said, you know, 3 or 4 sentences about each person, thank them for their contributions. On the plates, what I usually do is I put the person's name, their retreat, and the fiscal year, and then across the middle was the name of the award with the picture. And I'll share a picture on my post so you can see. But this is a really simple, low-cost way to really show your team that you can, that you see them, that you see what they add, that you see what their talents are. And I just loved this every year at camp and always found it to be so much fun. That's, and I like, you know, arts projects, so that was something for me that I really wanted to do for the team. But I think whatever that thing is, that sparkle, it can be if something that you love, if you love to bake, if you have, there are a lot of different ways that you can have that personal touch incorporated in at the end that's fun. So for me, it was the paper plates, and I absolutely recommend that you do it, but I also don't want you to feel like you have to be drawing pictures on paper plates, because for some people, that's probably the last thing that they want to do. And it may be not fun to them at all. You know, it just depends on who you are. And then lastly, now that we've kind of gone through the order and the importance of order, we did follow-up. We had planned follow-up. I've heard this so many times before. A series is so much more impactful than a one-off. So these retreats don't need to be one-offs. They don't need to be that one time a year that you have an open and honest conversation with your team. I have quarterly check-ins put on the calendar for us to revisit this question around culture and team development. And we're going to go back to our notes. I typed them up and we're going to ask each other and talk together about how are we doing, giving ourselves a progress report and readdressing these. I think ensuring your team that this is not a one-time stop and shop, that this is a commitment throughout the year, is a really important way to continue to build trust and change culture if that is what you're trying to do. Change or reinforce. You know, culture is something that needs to be worked on all the time. It can't be a few times and then set it and forget it. It really has to be a meticulous practice. And this is the first time that I'm sort of responsible for that. I've obviously been part of it as a colleague, a coworker, a team member in the past and, you know, tried my best. But the responsibility of being the leader of it is very different. I'll just repeat again one more time. It was setting your intention, figuring out your space, thinking about your timing and thought flow, bringing in outside inspiration, considering your order of information, special tip ending with something fun, and then number 6, follow-up. How are you ensuring this is not a one-off? Thank you so much for listening to me talk about the process I took to plan my first team retreat. I'd love to hear from others on what they've done or if any of these tips resonate or if there's anything that people are going to take and put into action. But I hope everyone has had a wonderful summer and is off to a great start this fall. Please check us out on Instagram at DevDebrief and share the podcast with your friends. We have a wonderful lineup of speakers coming over the next couple of months. Somehow every season is different and this one is no exception. So I hope that you enjoy and connect with me on LinkedIn, send me a message, let me know what you think, and have a great week.